Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Things like these continue to happen. We continue to talk about them here on Free Talk Live. There's a whole bunch of other alternative media outlets that are talking about this as well. So this from the Free Thought Project. Jury finds officers at fault for failing to stop fellow cops from beating an innocent teen unconscious. The cliff notes on this thing is there's several cops, three cops, I believe, involved in this. One cop decided it was a good idea to beat a teen unconscious. The other two cops stood around and did nothing about it.
They turned their cameras off, probably.
The story we'll talk about some of the things that happened. But the cliff notes is that I didn't expect this to happen. It doesn't usually happen, but a jury finds those guys who stood around and did nothing. They found them at fault.
Really?
Yeah, which is unusual, right? Usually the courts are on the side of the system, and they just go, oh, yeah, whatever. We investigated ourselves, and we found we did nothing wrong. So a little bit of an unusual twist, but the real twist here, not twist, but the real outcome here is that the cops themselves who were found at fault are not going to pay anything.
They're on administrative leave.
Right. So there's no punishment for these guys other than administrative leave.
Right. Which means you don't have to show up to work and you still get your money.
They get paid.
According to the lawsuit filed in federal court, Hernandez was a passenger in the backseat of a stolen car, which he did not know was stolen. In fact, none of the occupants knew it was stolen. Sheriff's Deputy Brandon Battles.
Brandon?
Battles.
Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon.
That's a cop name.
Battles. Yeah. Like Dr. Payne.
He pulled the car over after noticing it was driving with no lights. When he ran the plates, he found the car was stolen, called for backup. As the video shows, all of the teens were ordered out of the car one by one at gunpoint. Hernandez complied with the orders to walk backward with his hands on his head. However, as the video shows, instead of handcuffing the compliant teen, Battles put him in a cartoid hold, a type of neck restraint. I think
that sounds similar, like a wrestling
that's
move.
That's like
the half Nelson or the full Nelson, something like that.
Sounds like an RKO.
And, of course, Hernandez lost consciousness. I don't feel I did anything wrong, Hernandez said. I was a little scared because there were a lot of officers.
Well, yeah.
As Mercury News reported, video from a police body camera received by this news organization shows some of the scene of the arrest, including a clip where at least one deputy can be heard saying, "He's out, he's out, he's out." The lawsuit argues that when the deputy said, "He's out," referring to Hernandez, Battles knew that meant Hernandez was unconscious, but that Battles continued to instruct him to give his left hand behind his back and be handcuffed. The lawsuit argues that when the deputy said, "He's out," when the deputy had choked the guy out,
he
announced that he's out, he's out. Referring to Hernandez, the officer Battles, knew that meant that Hernandez was unconscious, and he continued to instruct him to give his left hand to be handcuffed, even though he couldn't. He's unconscious. It's impossible to do. Right. After the deputies repeatedly demand Hernandez stop resisting in the video, again impossible to do when you're unconscious, one can be seen hitting him with a flashlight. And we discussed how big a police flashlight is, the maglite style that they carry. It doubles as a baton. In fact, police are trained to use this flashlight as a baton. The lawsuit alleges that Battle struck Hernandez in the head and neck six times with his flashlight, and another deputy, Joseph Anderson, beat Hernandez's right shoulder area.
Good hitting police.
Serving and protecting the crap out of this guy.
Exactly.
Quote, "I will," expletive, "shoot you," a deputy's voice can be heard saying in the video. The lawsuit states that this is the voice of Battles, who had his pistol. Had his pistol the head of this unconscious. I think they're.
Typo.
Yeah, they missed a word here. It sounds like they hit him in the head with his pistol. A 10-year-old girl calls 911 to report her police officer dad for sexually abusing her. Fellow cops cover it up.
What? Come on, man. That's not a real story, is it?
Chicago, Illinois. Frequent readers of the Free Thought Project are all too familiar with the concept of the thin blue line. Though law enforcement claims this line represents the force between good and evil, it is often used as a means to coerce and silence victims of police officers, especially when it comes to domestic abuse. For nearly a decade, TFTP has reported on countless incidents of police officers covering for fellow cops when they commit an act of brutality or when they beat their wives. Victims of domestic violence by police often have nowhere to go, as reporting the crime to their abuser's brothers in blue is a daunting task that could land them in deeper trouble. I say it all the time. Cops are the biggest gang in America.
They're all in on it.
Absolutely.
They all cover for each other.
It's a fraternity.
It is a fraternity.
It's a union.
It's worse than
that.
It's a fraternity.
It's a fraternity.
Here's the deal with police. Some people say, oh, it's just a few rotten apples that spoil the barrel. Well, they spoil the whole barrel.
Right.
If police were to actually do something about their reputation and help it out, like I'm certain people will call and say, well, what do you think should be done, Captain? You're so smart. What should, you know? Okay, well, here, if cops really want to improve their reputation, all they need to do is get together with all their other cop buddies on their little cop chats or whatever they use to communicate with each other.
Squad cars.
Yeah, or get on their radios, radio, yeah. You know, they, okay, this is an all officer bulletin, and go, we're going to stop.
Stop pistol whipping people and stop beating down people with their mag lights.
And also, we're going to stop arresting anybody for victimless crimes.
Absolutely.
That would make an immediate improvement across the board. I don't care what department you're in, if you're just a town cop or if you're in a large city. If all of you police would get together and act simultaneously to just stop harassing people for victimless crimes, then you would immediately improve the entire situation. But you don't do that. And so we continue to have these stories because you have a monopoly on the use of violence.
Bad cops didn't just start, a couple, two, 3 years ago.
Right.
Bad cops started, long before any one of us on this show, myself and you guys, before we were ever thought of, and what about the times out there that the police committed crimes and they got away with it? Like, for instance, the, 72, 73-year-old guy that was living in New Hampshire when they had stabbed to death that little girl and then moved all the way to hell down to Tennessee or wherever the hell it was, and they found him through DNA?
Yep.
You could go on and on with this, Captain Wenatchee, the Wenatchee witch hunt.
Yeah, and you bring up a very good point, Rob, and that is for every story that does make it to the airwaves here on Free Talk Live or through an alternative media outlet such as the Free Thought Project or Cop Watch or Cop Block or any of the other alternative medias that do report on these stories. For everyone, how many of them go unheard? How many of these stories are never told? How many of these atrocities are they getting away with on a daily basis in your town?
Well, the main thing you need to know about police and cops and other people calling themselves law enforcement is that they're just other humans, just other people who are not morally superior. And the laws that they enforce are just the opinions of a small group, a very small group of men and women who are not morally superior either. And as well, many of them, most of them are dead, fired, retired, whatever. They don't exist anymore. So, in other words, the laws don't apply to me.
Well, they do if they say they do.
Well, that's in any situation. Other words, if someone walks up to you on the street and says, I own you, you're owned if you're not able to take care of yourself.
I, at some point in my life when I was young, went to school for recording engineering. How to operate a board in a recording studio.
You're doing
bands,
it. You're
like
doing
that.
It. Look at that. Yeah. Paid off.
So what I learned is the word transduction or transducing, right? And sure. I like to say that because Deuce.
Well, I'm number two. Number two.
Anyway, my point is that all that happens in the audio world is energy never begins or ends. It's only transduced.
Right.
It only changes from one form of energy to another. So in that respect, life just exists. It never begins or ends. There is no beginning or end to it, because when you die as a human being, when you die, you know, sure, you might have breathed your last breath or taken your last breath, but your body decomposes, right? Maybe you get incinerated, or maybe your body gets buried and you start to decompose. But all of that is contributing to the rest of the life cycle on planet Earth in some way, shape, or form. So does life have a beginning and an end is an even bigger question.
Well, I like your term. You might be able to modify a little bit, call it the life force.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that way you can talk about it's never beginning and never ending. Yeah, because it is, it could fall into that thing we call energy.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
In a healthy society, which I think we all wish for, that every member of that society has some bit of a responsibility to take care of business, to be, you know, cognizant of security, your own security. Yeah, I mean, if you don't honor your own personal security, you're nowhere. You know what I mean? And and so I'm just saying that, you know, like Kyle Rittenhouse, stepped up. And he actually did something.
You bring up a very, very interesting point, Bad Slave, and that is when governments claim a monopoly over a service, in this case, the police, what it does is it allows people to take no responsibility of their own for these things, right? Because it's literally been outsourced. You are forced to pay for it via taxation. And so most people never think about it. They don't consider, oh, well, I might have to think about security myself. I might, you know, outside of maybe subscribing to, like, you know, a home security system, an ADT or something like that. Most folks don't think about what sorts of security and investigation needs and services they might need.
If you're only a person when you have breath, well, what about the person who's drowning? Don't they? And it's like, no, that's not it at all. So what I was saying was that once you have taken that first breath, then you have property. Like, because that's the thing. Like, sure, there's spirituality and there's values, and, like, you know, when he's talking about, like, well, shouldn't you help rescue a drowning person? It's like, well, I'm not obligated to do that. It's nice. It's good. It's better. It's what in philosophy you call aesthetic. And that's why I pushed back on preferences yesterday, because, like, that's talking about aesthetics. That's what's good, but it's not what's morally required.
Yeah, I I'm muting you while I'm talking because we're getting weird feedback here, Peakless, so bear with me for just a moment. One of the things I think it came across as, you know, the first breath out of the womb, that's when life begins. That's what I think people are thinking, or what they heard. That's what I had in my mind, you know, from the show yesterday. And I think that that is not true. Again, I did some more thinking about the subject overnight. And in fact, you know, egg cells are life. Sperm is life, right? Life exists before those two things combine to create an embryo, even. So I think that that's
right,
where the...
Right. Yeah. So we're not talking about life, because, I mean, if it was life, then, you know, you can't murder that mold over there.
on the pro-life type issue, pro-life abortion issue, I always find it interesting when I hear people at these rallies chanting various sayings, and some of the sayings they're chanting, they don't understand the sort of hypocrisy in many ways of what they're saying.
Like, let's go, Brandon?
Yeah, go out. Yes. So I'm talking like, in this case, no uterus, no opinion, like men can't have an opinion.
Oh, right.
And the interesting part about that is that the Roe Wade opinion originally was, you know, done by 7 male judges. So if they don't like male opinion, I guess they want Roe Wade overturned on that aspect.
Interesting,
then,
yeah.
You know, the My Body, My Choice chant, that's another one. Whenever I hear that, I want to put a sign up that has a picture of a pregnant woman. Mm-hmm. And from the belly, I want to see one of those little mental bubbles of what you're thinking. And it's a My Life, you know, My Choice from the baby's perspective. And because it seems like they never want to attribute the My Body, My Choice to the unborn baby. And the other issue and the whole idea of this life thing, it all really comes down to, and I think you guys all understand this too, that it's just, when does life begin? That's the big, you know, linchpin in this whole thing. Because as soon as life begins, then it's not choice. There's no pro-choice argument anymore. You can't choose to kill somebody, whether it's in the privacy of your home, because they're making this all about privacy and trying to suggest that, you know, this basis of privacy means they're going to abolish LGBTQ rights and interracial rights. And I'm like, okay, that's all covered under the Equal Protection Clause. That doesn't have anything to do with privacy. Since there's actual legal precedent where a rapist, because there's a statute of limitations on rape versus murder, they have actually tried DNA for rape and got a conviction. And then later on, when they found the rapist who, you know, was accountable to that DNA, that person went to prison. They were already found guilty based on it being their DNA. So once you can identify a uniquely identifiable DNA, at that point, I believe it's extremely rational and reasonable to say that is a human life now, because it's a uniquely identifiable person and DNA. What do you think?
You have some very good points and some very interesting arguments, you guys.
Well, I was going to say, would you have to test the DNA of the fetus or the baby to see if it's actually different? And if that,
I was just going to say, that's when it comes down to, at some point, you'd have to have some scientific, obviously, experiments to determine when that is. And that would involve, you know, sampling pregnant women and going in and seeing at what point can you identify that it's a unique identifiable DNA. Like, you'd have to figure to go into a woman and be able to find that. So there'd be some testing involved. I don't know the exact answer, because I'm not a DNA, you know, expert.
You're not a rocket surgeon?
No, sorry. But I kind of believe that it's within a few hours. I think once the, you know, the sperm and the eggs combine, I don't think it's that long before it's a uniquely identifiable DNA that is created. And, you know, you hit the go button. And from then on, that is proceeding to a living, breathing person that's going to pop out of the womb, as long as we don't do something to stop the process.
So I have the answer for how we get government out of the way.
My ears are perked. Yes. I feel like a German Shepherd over here going, yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
Did somebody in the background just call me a liar?
No, we said let's hear it.
No.
Oh, okay.
You haven't said anything. Yeah. How could you be a liar?
I mean, are you lying about having the answer?
No, I'm not. So
all right.
There's this idea. It's called mass resistant infiltration.
MRI?
And now they're changing it to ROC, resistance operating concept.
Okay.
And this is it's kind of weird that they keep changing the name, but it's the same basic principle that we've been using since, I don't know, getting the Roman Empire shut down. And what it is you take all of these people that don't like each other, or let's say they don't like each other, but they just don't share a whole lot in common, and you get them to do the same thing, and that is tell the oppressor no really loudly over and over, and not only tell the oppressor no, but not really, like, just resist, right? And it doesn't have to be violent. Like, I'm not saying we have to, you know, attack the National Guard or anything.
Right.
But what I am saying is, if all of us libertarians got together and, like, just had a conversation with all the different gangs and all the different political groups, and we're just like, hey, we really don't like each other a whole lot, but these guys, they're really bad people.
I do not believe the United States government would send troops to murder, quote, citizens, unquote, of its own country.
Well, it's happened before.
It has. Yeah. The move bombing recently occurred. It's true, but that is also something that they like to sweep under the rug and not be highly publicized. Something like that happening now with the age of the internet and people with cell phones and everybody and their dog taking pictures and video and posting it, right. Streaming it live. I mean, no, it's just, I think it's an unrealistic expectation to think that there's going to be military action taken against peaceful activists.
Okay. Now, there's one thing that, when you study these concepts, there's one thing I find really interesting. How many resistors do you think you need?
3%.
3%.
Yeah, 3%. I think the statistics historically say 3%.
Yep, you actually need 2.71.
Oh, I was wrong.
Yeah, but
rounds,
I mean,
rounds to three.
Yeah, libertarians, we're not good at math.
Well, some of us are.
Only 1% need to be the doers. Only 1% need to be the doers. So,
yes.
If you have 273 people running around together saying, hey, we're going to do this, this, and this, only 100% have to be the ones carrying things out.
I'm always happy to hear David. I mean, he's just really off the wall, and he lives in our state. But anyways, I just want to...
Do you know him?
Well, I've only heard him on the radio show. I've never met him. I know quite a bit of his life.
Okay.
From calling in all the time, and I know about his kids that he's missing. So, but anyways, I wanted to expose Albuquerque corruption of the...
Okay.
This company was supposed to remodel the airport, where the waiting areas or something. They got this contract, and they know the company's name, but they dragged out they dragged it out longer than what it's supposed to, and they overcharged, and they're being audited. And all this happened with Mayor Berry's administration. Mayor Berry is the one that took out all of our red light cameras, by the way.
Okay.
And that's how he got elected. So that, you know, they'll do anything and say anything. And what's amazing is that Mayor Berry, he was a contractor before he ran for mayor. I mean, what is an odd, you know, flip-flop over?
Well, usually if somebody was a contractor and then they get into politics and become a politician, they then use their position of power to curry favor.
You guys were talking about kicking chickens. Well, you never want to kick a chicken because chickens are considered foul, correct?
Foul. Oh, boy.
Every time you kick a chicken, he will fly foul.
That's it. I don't. Is
neither
that
fair nor foul.
Okay, so there, hang on. There's this thing in the world known as a dad joke, right? Now, that's worse than a dad joke. So
I'm a grandpa.
Okay, so granddad jokes?
Granddad jokes, yeah.
I'm fixing to be a great-grandpa.
It's that's like fitting description. It's a great-granddad joke.
So, right.
I tell you what, Captain, you disclosed your age the other night on the radio. You guys ought to open up an office pool. How old is Major? I'll give you your first clue.
Okay, wait, no. I want to guess. Hang on. Before you give us any clues,
over under.
Let's just guess. I'm going to say Major Payne is 67 years old. Kahuna?
I'm going to say 81.
Oh, I was going to say 81. I'll take 82.
Oh, goodness gravy, where are my teeth? No, you're all way foul, like kicking.
All right, how old are you?
No, you guys need to open up an office pool. You can make money on this.
Right, to get right. Squares, you know. Just...
Well, we were thinking actually of opening a combination.
I'm going to give you the first hint right now. Right. I was born 100 years after peace was made at the courthouse.
This is from Reason.com. The IRS stole money and hid the details for years. As law enforcement agencies patrol for profit, the secrecy surrounding cash seizures must stop. You guys are probably wondering, okay, well, what is this about? The Internal Revenue Service demands transparency for you and me, of course. They open ledgers, snoop through bank accounts, review receipts, but its appetite for disclosure disappears when the roles reverse. The IRS stonewalled for more than 6 years when our public interest law firm, the Institute for Justice, sought access to the agency's forfeiture database. Initially, the IRS wanted a $750,000 fee before it would accommodate the request, an unreasonable demand that would render the Freedom of Information Act useless for all but the wealthiest citizens.
Jeez. I'd pay the $750K because they probably got $200, $300 million, more than that.
The point is that if it supposedly is a public agency.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't have to pay for it.
And anybody who's dealt with agencies, especially the IRS.
Theirs.
Right. Yeah.
We need a fee.
You didn't sign the right paperwork.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.